But as we progress in this lecture tonight, we will see how life becomes individualized and yet is not individualized. It still remains in the whole. But as we are talking about relative conditions tonight, that is to say, I want to show you the life force working through the body, from the very highest plane down to the lowest plane in the physical structure. And this all exists within man himself. Last evening, we talked about meditation, and we saw how the mind must be cleansed of all that would prevent true meditation, which is none other than clearing the mind of hindrances that prevent the expression of life itself. Now, in this lesson tonight, it is after the mind has been cleansed from all the hindrances that it begins to understand the function of life itself in the body, the brain, the nervous system. And to know that you are life, that you are living. You do not know what life is, but you know that you're alive. You know that you are living. And to know that you are living is the greatest thing. That is to say, that you know that you are living is really the essence of that which is behind your mind, your thoughts, and all your expressions. Because what is in your mind is but an idea, an image, a belief, which is not living. It isn't a living thing, it is an idea. You are the living expression of life itself. I am alive, you are alive. We are all living. Therefore, it is this consciousness of living that is so essential. And with a consciousness of living, we know that every other individual is also living. Therefore, we are one in our living. One with each other. We saw last week what was true meditation. Thus we realize that when the mind is clear, the body, which is mind materialized or mind modified, must clear also, so that the life force flows without interruption. It is well that we should know something about the mechanism which life created for its own self-expression. Do you know anything about the mechanism? Very few people do. They know they have a body, they give it food, they wash it in the morning, and so forth. They put it to bed at night, and they wake it up in the morning. That's what the majority of people know, and very little more. But for us who are really students of life, we want to know something of the mechanism to which life flows, that life has created for its own self-expression. So life is capable of much more in the physical body than the ordinary man is aware of. This is the difference between the ordinary uninformed person and the person who understands the working of the divine power through the brain, nervous system, and the body, which is an instrument that life created for its own expression. Nothing could create this body except life itself, an intelligence. An intelligence is behind the creation of this body. That intelligence must exist in this body, otherwise it could not exist at all. Science says to us, matter separated from energy does not exist. I will go further and say, energy separated from intelligence does not exist. Intelligence separated from consciousness does not exist. Therefore, consciousness is the supreme factor behind all things. Whatever you are consciously aware of, this intelligence that seems to be the active principle of life will I picture for you in every detail according what your consciousness is aware of. That is a fundamental law. If you recognize that truth, then you will see that much of the misery and trouble that exists in your bodies and in your own circumstances are created by yourselves. The spine is the pillar of the body, and through this pillar the great nerves pass. Therefore, a knowledge of these nerve tracks is essential. The motor and sensory nerves are the most important and are mainly grouped on the right and left side of the spine. They are known as the efferent nerve circuit and the afferent nerve circuit. The efferent or motor nerves carry the voluntary impulses from the brain to the muscles, etc. And the afferent or sensory nerves are those which carry the external and internal sensations from the body back to the respective nerve centers in the brain. There is a two-way system continuously in action all the time, and they are linked in with the spine itself, the spinal cord being the line through which every sensation must go out and return. If I make a stroke on this board, it may not be very explicit, but it will be easy enough for you to begin to understand what I mean. We will say that that is the spine. Inside the spine is the cord that flows right away down inside the spine. From this cord, then, there is nerves flowing out all the time to the side of the spine in different directions, both sides. And down each side of the spine is this, what we call the afferent and the efferent nerve system, known as the motor nerves. Now, sensations coming from the brain down the spine send messages out to the body for various activities through the muscles. We pass out through here and taken up by the motor nerves, carried through to various portions of the body so that the muscle of the arm or the leg will move. Now, there is also a circuit through which this sensation, so I press my leg here, or if I have a pain, internally or external feeling, comes back also through this particular method and passes through the spine also, but is caught up through what we call the afferent nervous system. And in both sides of the spine, you have what we call the afferent and the efferent nervous system, which carry messages out and messages in, which run up to the central cord and move up into the brain. Then the brain centers receive these messages, and the mind interprets these messages, and the consciousness becomes aware of them and gives them what we call a relative reality. Not a reality as it would be as a complete reality, that is to say, the spirit itself, but it gives you a relative reality of a sensation, of a feeling in the body. Now you understand that, don't you? Therefore, the brain has control of all sensations going in and coming out. The brain, through the mind, can at any time suspend any sensation going in and going out towards the body. And here, where the masters or the yogis in the first place begin to control these afferent and efferent nervous system, controlling the various sensations going in and out of the body. That is to say that after a period of time, practicing what we call tummo means the control of the elements of heat and cold, that heat and cold, no matter how hot it can be and how cold it can be, the consciousness can control these sensations through the nerves. Therefore, a white hot heat, iron, or a blazing furnace fire will have no effect upon the body of an individual who has practiced and mastered Tummo. Neither can an intense cold, 50 or 60 degrees below zero, have any effect upon the body either. But with you, you feel the heat and the cold, and you will be burnt if you put your hand in the fire. But after the practice of Tummo, it is possible to put the hand in a blazing furnace, yet the hand is not even touched. That is the complete practice of Tummo. I'm not talking about mysteries. I'm not talking about things that do not exist. I'm talking about things that are possible because I have seen them done and have practiced them myself. The spine, therefore, to us assumes a deep significance, for it carries messages in and out throughout the whole organism of the body. Life in its downward flow into the body passes through five main plexus of nerves known as chakras. As life flows down, it passes through these chakras, which are representative of the plane in which life is acting. And when it reaches the lower vitals, it is associated with all nature in the mineral, vegetable, and animal planes. Otherwise, a higher vital here, which is the back of the neck, that's the first great nerve center of the body. And I'll deal with the three first later on, but showing the five chakras which are in the body, which are nothing more than great nerve centers, which are linked in with various planes of activity right down to the physical. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth one here is commonly known as the Kundalini, which is at the base of the spine. This vibrates at a certain rate of vibration, and the color is red. All these vibrations have certain colors, of course. Therefore, it links in with the vibrations of the animal, the mineral, and the vegetable. These planes of activity are not what we call separate. For instance, right through the mineral plane, there is a mineral activity. Right through the vegetable plane, there is also a complete activity, one in itself. Right through the animal plane, there is also what we call an animal activity, a principle acting through the whole of the animal plane. That principle is working through the body as well. The vegetable takes from the mineral what it requires and creates the vegetable through the vegetable principle. The animal principle takes from the vegetable what it requires into the cell structure of the animal tissue. Therefore, animal tissue becomes mineral and vegetable in the animal tissue, which becomes the same thing in your body. That animal tissue is instinctive in nature. It acts according to the instinct of this particular principle that manifests through the whole of the animal plane. Animal nature rises from this center in the body at the back, and is the control of all the sensations in and out of this particular plane where you have control. This control is not what we call contraction, but a form of freedom and understanding. A sensation that arises in the master through this particular center reaches the brain. He feels the instinctive principle, the instinctive action of the animal life for propagation. But he knows what it is. He's not afraid of it, therefore he understands it. But the majority of people not understand it, therefore they think it's evil. But there's neither evil nor good in the principle of life. Light neither knows evil nor good. He created these particular forms and planes for activity for its own self-expression. Therefore, it's the lowest form in human nature, but yet it's a natural thing in human nature. Now we have sensations backwards and forwards to the brain as according to how your consciousness interprets these sensations. If your consciousness is aware of evil, it will be evil unto you. If your consciousness is aware of good, it will be good unto you. But good and evil are relative terms. That's what you think about the things. Therefore, it's illusionary. But life does not know good nor evil. It is just life expressing its true nature. When you begin to understand, you dispose of these opposites, good and evil, and you become one with spirit or life itself, and you recognize life's purpose. Therefore, there are various other planes of existence that pass through these centers, but I'm not going to bother with these tonight because we haven't got the time. But all these particular planes are planes of activity, which exist in you, and you are capable of knowing all about them. But at present, you are only capable of knowing most of this, that's all. Your food, what you eat, and what you drink, how you sleep, you go to work, you come back. You feel good and evil and so forth, and you live in those particular places. That's exactly what the majority of people live in. But through understanding exactly the knowledge you're getting now, you find that there is a rising up of this consciousness, rises into the higher planes, and into the higher planes of consciousness, where you begin to see and understand the great things of the universe. First of all, then, life comes down in its own purity and is involved in these various planes until it reaches this particular center. From there, it begins to rise again up to whence it came. That is your understanding. For the lower vital, see my book Spiritual and Mental Healing, page 162, 63, and 64 for further explanations on this important subject. The lower vital is the plexus situated at the small of the back, which includes the activity of the animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms, which is subconscious in our bodies and belongs to the subconscious. The subconscious, then, is everything that is underneath consciousness. It includes all the mineral activity, all the vegetable activity, all the animal activity, and all the subconscious activity which is below consciousness. This is all subconscious. Above is what we call superconscious. A consciousness that is above the superconscious, where all the spiritual intuition and spiritual knowledge comes down. It meets the subconscious exactly in the center of the body, known as the solar plexus. Therefore, it passes down through into the subconscious, through the whole of the subconscious as the superconscious passes right way down through into the subconscious, into the mineral, the vegetable, and begins to raise it up and change its form, making it more vital. The human race is changing. Just as the human consciousness is changing, so will everything underneath the human consciousness change too. Because the human consciousness comes from the superconscious state and is carried down through into those various planes. And as the human consciousness becomes elevated, So does it elevate everything in the subconscious and the whole continent of the subconscious range which all activities take place. Therefore, you are here not to live, but as a purpose in the great cosmic scheme which has been laid down by the great infinite mind at the beginning, before the earth was formed. Subconscious is a word I have coined to give a true meaning of the activity of the whole subconscious, or the subcontinent, not only belonging to the individual, but to the activity of all these planes as a whole. The intelligence which is active in all these planes is active in us, also subconsciously. This intelligence is always endeavoring to keep the perfect balance in the body. Therefore, we are in contact with all planes from the highest to the lowest. All are within the one whole and not separate. Therefore, there is no separation anywhere. This principle has been building up forms through eons of time, called evolution, until the human body was created capable of using the powers of the Christ principle, the superconscient. Thus, the whole subconscient is being gradually elevated from its gross state to the spiritual, the essence out of which it was created. Thus, the superconscient is always raising up the subconscient by its influence. The Christ principle expressing itself from within through the electromagnetic vibrations set in motion. Therefore, one who understands never sees evil, nor gives any power to the illusion of evil, for this would be a hindrance to the expression of the Christ here and now. Neither does he dwell on good and evil, for if he did think in terms of good and evil, he would be caught up in the relative and would be lost in opposites, and all his efforts would be neutralized. Now the majority of people's efforts are all neutralized because they're all seeing evil. You try to be virtuous, you say that virtue is being good. It is nothing of the sort. If you see evil, you cannot be virtuous. Virtue is love, which neither knows good nor evil. Virtue is wisdom, but love does not know good nor evil. Love itself is complete in itself. And not until you have cleansed the mind of all your images of good and evil, can you arrive at that which in itself is free. In that freedom is virtue, and in nothing else. Eternal spirit is not subject to law, and is above evolutionary law, and still remains absolute spirit, even though involved in all creation, yet not subject to the law of creation. Having perfect freedom, it stands beyond, yet not separate, because there can be no separation. If you can grasp this, you have found the pearl of great price within yourself. Here is the great and mighty truth, the eternal spirit, who is behind all creation. Involved in everything from the highest to the lowest, yet itself is not affected by anything. It is not relative. That which you see is relative. It is not subject to the law of creation, because itself is the creative law. It's not subject to the law of evolution, because it itself was the creator of the law of evolution. This divine power rests and exists in man, because it is the same life that was in the Father that same life was granted to the Son. When we begin to know the workings within ourselves, we begin to know the works of the Father. Whatever I see the Father do, I do likewise. So the physical body is a vehicle through which all the planes of activity are reached, here and now. We do not have to wait till we die. Therefore, the consciousness of life itself is manifesting through all planes. The body, as seen with physical eyes, is in no way like the real body of man. The real body of man reaches far above his head and also far below his feet. The physical body is just that portion that you see by the physical eye. The spiritual body is a much finer material, which you do not see with the physical eye at all, but it does exist. This spiritual body is made up of a material that is invisible to the physical eye, but sometimes you can see it when your vibrations are raised high enough. You become conscious of a further light that vibrates beyond the vibration of 450 trillion to 750 trillion per second. A light that passes through this porous body of ours, but reflects from a finer body, vibrating at a higher rate of vibration, therefore it is invisible to the eye, to the sense. These planes do exist, and you also have these bodies now. Your consciousness is in life, not in matter. Your consciousness is not the result of your reactions to things external to yourselves. Your consciousness is an attribute of life itself. Consciousness and life being synonymous. Man is linked into the great ocean of magnetic life above through the top of his head, known as the first chakra or thousand petal lotus. Thus life is perfect and free from all conditions. This is life, eternal omnipresence, the omnipresent life, where it is everywhere, in everything. There is nowhere where it's not. It is omnipotent, it is all power. It is omniscient, it is all knowledge and all wisdom. It contains within itself everything. This is the life that is free. Man lives in that particular life, omnipresence. And into the top of his head it flows, known as the first chakra, the thousand petal lotus, which is known to the ordinary way, to the people who begin to study these particular things. And this thousand petal lotus vibrates at a very high vibration. As it passes down then to this center, vibration is reduced, and it becomes what we call individual. It becomes the active principle in man, in you. You begin then to create with this life through the instrument created for the purpose. Your brain, your nervous system, and everything else is for that purpose. In this area then, which is the thinking portion of our brain, the life flows into that center and feeds it and gives it power to think and act. The next center, it moves to this one here, to the back of the head, known as the cerebellum. Here the cerebellum is the lower brain, which has the function of control of the heartbeat, all the glands, the circulation and everything. So life then becomes automatic in its nature through the body. Here, then, what we call is the fusing point of mind and matter. Now we know that all sensations coming back from the body, all sensations going out to the body, must pass through this particular center, the cerebellum. When there's anything wrong with your body, it begins to talk back to you. It first of all talks back through the spine, informs this center here what's taking place. This center then connects with this brain here and tells you, and you become conscious and aware of what is taking place. If you accept these things as a reality, your consciousness becomes aware of them and gives them a quality that it does not possess, because you create in your mind an image of that particular sensation. But life in itself here is free from all these things, and that is the life in you. The life in your body is in no way separated from the totality of all life in the universe. Therefore, life in you is as free as it is in the omnipresent state. But you are not conscious of it because of the fact that you allow this portion of the brain to dictate to you. You allow the body to dictate to this portion of the brain, which controls all the automatic activities of the body, such as the gland, circulation of the blood, heartbeat, and so forth. So these three main centers are the main centers of the body. To know the mechanism is so essential. When the mind is clear, then you can do anything with the body. It is through this, then, this center here, that the master is able to practice tumo, the control of every cell in the body, the control of every activity in the body, even the heartbeat, slows down or quickens it up. He can bury himself in the ground for 6 months, and yet after 6 months come up and still be alive. The body has not deteriorated. Now the science of the Christ Yoga reveals that there are three channels in the spine, one in the right, one in the left, and one up the center of the spine. The right is called the Pingala, the left is called the Ida, and the hollow channel in the center of the spine is called the Sushumna. Most people do not experience this superconscious state until they leave the physical body, commonly known as death. But the master of the Christ Yoga can experience this out-of-body state by directing the flow of breath, where the downward and upward movement of the breath has ceased. Consequently, the left and right channels of the spine have ceased their activities, and absolute rest has been established in the body and the mind. There is no sensation of any kind going out into the body, nor any sensation returning to the mind. Therefore, there is complete rest, and it is because that the breath is subdued. I'm not going to go into that just now, but eventually we will learn more about it as we move along in this course. We will see what the breath really means. This is a very high course. In fact, I shouldn't be giving it to you, really, because it is so high in its nature. It's only given to students, cellists, who have reached the state of spiritual development, so they can use these forces. But I know perfectly well that you can't do yourself any harm, because you won't use it anyhow. Consequently, the left and right channels of the spine have ceased their activities, and absolute rest has been established at the top of the head. Now we'll see, immediately this takes place, life in the lower vital rises up through the Sushumna, in the center of the spine, to the top of the head. The life then vitalizes the brain, preventing destruction during the period of suspension of objective breathing. So when the breathing ceases entirely, the life which is here which is instinctively nature that keeps the body working through from this center here to the very lower center of the body, begins to move up through the spine and reaches the brain. The brain then becomes entirely active on its own, and every cell of the brain then becomes fertilized and is kept in a state where the individual brain is not in any way affected by the suspension of breathing. The Hatha Yoga practices breathing methods to do this with the mind filled with many things that are false. He reaches a state, but it's a false state and not a true one. I found that out for myself when I went further into the science. That is why the cleansing and clearing of the mind, it must be done before you can reach that particular state where there is nothing false in the mind. Anything false in the mind will be produced because of tremendous power given in the consciousness in the belief of anything false. Now, look into your minds and see what is false. All organized religions are false. Why? Because they separate man from man. All political ideas are false, because they create separation between man and mind. All nationalities are false because they create separation between individuals. All opposites are false. The idea of good and evil, the idea of health or ill health, the idea of faith and fear, all these opposites are false. When you clear the mind of all that is false, then that which is true exists there itself, free as the light is above in its omnipresent state. It is free, therefore the light in you must be as free in you as it is in its omnipresent state. With your beliefs, you have put life in a cage of your own making. Therefore, that's why you are held down in your own minds. The Christ Yogi removes all that is false from his mind. He sees all things that are relative are effects and not causes, and his mind becomes clear. This state of freedom comes without effort or struggle. If the means is struggle, the end will also be struggle. If the means is peace, the end will be peace too. Therefore, there must be no struggle. If there is any struggle in your expression, then at the end there will also be struggle, and there can be no freedom in struggle. The process of your mind must first of all be freedom, and the end will be freedom too. If I could take a brush and brush your mind out of all these things, then it would be a different thing, but I can't do it. You have to do that for yourselves. So the life in the body must be as free as the life itself in its omnipresence. That is the Master. Don't you see then the Master, he says, I and the Father are one. I myself am nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth all these things. Naturally, our breathing is interrelated with the cosmic energy called prana, and interrelated with the mind, brain, nerves, and spine, which is the trunk through which the nerves pass, carrying prana to every cell of the body. Jesus knew that he had all power in heaven and on earth because of his understanding and practice of the Christ Yogi. When Jesus breathed upon the sick, they were healed. He breathed prana into them, life intelligence, In other words, speech always expresses itself according to the conscious awareness of the adept. Here we realize the advantage of rhythmic breathing as taught in my book, Spiritual and Mental Healing. When you read my book, Spiritual and Mental Healing, probably some of you have read it, but you have read it only, you have not studied it. When you begin to study these books, you will see in them the secret behind all what I'm telling you. Go back to it again now and read about breathing. Read about the subconscious and the superconscious. When we inhale, we draw from the universal supply of prana in which we live and move. As we exhale, all impurities are carried back out into the ocean of prana to be purified. Now the spine with its five centers or chakras or plexus correspond to the five lower sheaths of man, while the sixth and seventh in the head correspond with the higher principles, soul and spirit, the master terms Buddha or Atma. So we see that these five contain the various planes in which life passes through, but these are different altogether. They deal with the consciousness of the spirit of life in man. There is his power, the Trinity. Now I will show you the Trinity, which is known, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. The Father, complete, omnipresent everywhere. The Son, the same life as the Father in the Son. And the Holy Ghost, the perfect expression of that Son who knows the Father. The rising of the power of life from the base of the spine awakens each chakra as it flows back through the Shishamna towards the head, and is analogous to the ascending power of the spirit through the five kingdoms, such as the mineral, vegetable, animal, human, and spiritual, vitalizing and helping every living atom onwards in its evolutionary journey towards its destination, perfection, and liberation from limitation in form. This is what takes place at so-called death. This is the way of the Christ, symbolized in the birth into the flesh, the resurrection, and the ascension after the cross being symbolic of the perpendicular and horizontal in mankind, the unknown and the known. See my book, I Am the Life, Chapter 2, The Fall of Man. The unknown, the spirit permeating everywhere, the known through which man sees with his own consciousness, there he sees. That is Christ, the Son of God. He knows God, he's aware of the life of God within himself, and he discerns all that is error in front of him, knowing that he himself is free. When you are caught up in the horizontal, then you are not free. The body is symbolical of the cross. Here it is. The unknown, the known. Here you'll find the key, that is to say, the chapter 2, the fall of man. Here you'll find the key from the fall of man to the resurrection and ascension. In other words, spirit's incarnation into the flesh and its rising again into the absolute essence. I would advise you to read this chapter carefully with this lesson. Will give you a greater understanding of the wonder of God and his creation man. Therefore, when we have cleared the mind, the mechanism truly functions, and mental and spiritual realization is gained, the Hatha Yogi practices breathing exercises for this purpose and forces his will to act upon the chakras although he does wonderful things in the process, he eventually discards this method through disappointment. For when he reaches the Christ Yoga, he realizes that all is gained without struggle. Although his work is by no means in vain, he realizes that he could have taken the better way without struggle. I told you in my last lecture that the beginning and the end are one. If the beginning is struggle, the end will be the same. If the beginning is freedom, the end will be freedom. When you have gained this freedom, you are admitted into the halls of wisdom, for this is your place. Not until you have gained this freedom will you enter into the halls of wisdom. You can readily see that. The mechanism of the body will adjust itself. The spine will become straight and firm without tension. Life will flow easily through the organism, and the effects upon the entire body and mind will be one of poise. The mind is then free to think clearly without body consciousness. The mind becomes alert and aware, always aware of all that is false, and aware of that which is beyond itself. It is aware of something it does not know, but is aware of it all the same, but is also aware of all that is false, that is preventing that which is beyond mind manifesting itself in the mind and body of man. So magnificent and great is this wonderful story that you can hardly realize the great importance of the words that are being spoken now. He who hears, let him hear, is a true seer. Once this is understood, there is the elimination of opposites from the mind, such as life and death, health and ill health, good and evil, heat and cold. In fact, heat and cold have no effect upon the body when the mind has been freed from this duality. When this state is reached, pranayama is master, that is, controlling the prana or cosmic energy which functions through the body and all bodies. Read my last series of lectures for other explanations. I cannot go back towards these lectures, but if you read those lectures you've already had and study them carefully, you will find all the information there. These things have been written for you, but I reckon that you have not realized the importance of it. Of course, I know quite well, man. That's perfectly clear. But nevertheless, if you do really read them carefully on what I have already said, you will find much surprise, yes, terrific surprises. Breathing becomes rhythmic because the mind is free of obstruction, and you have access to the boundless reservoir of energy that is everywhere. Life outside the body is in no way separated from life within the body. But if you want to learn to breathe rhythmically, see my book, Spiritual and Mental Healing. All information is given there. One who has full control of prana has control of all he sees. Thus all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Because I am living, you will be living too. You will understand in that day that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. John 14:19-20. Benediction. O great eternal, thou art one only. There is no other but thee. I am one with thee, and through me thou makest all things change. While thou exist within me, unchangeable. O beloved one, thou raised my beloved brother, and thou wilt also raise me to be with thee in thy eternal presence. Now that I know, I gladly act as thy messenger of light, for I cannot do otherwise, for thou hast ordained it, and this is my peace, O eternal Word. If you have grasped one modicum of what I have told you tonight, you have found a pearl of great price. But when you have found many pearls, they will accumulate. And as they accumulate, you will know the value of that pearl that is beyond price. That you shall find also within yourself. That the merchant who found this great pearl, and he sold all his other pearls so that he could obtain this one pearl. It is all these various things, ideas and images and beliefs, all these various great things, mysteries in the universe, these are all great pearls of wonderful price. That eternal, complete power in itself, that is beyond price, is this eternal existence, that the life, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, free, is my life also, to be conscious, aware of this truth, that is the pearl of great price. It gives you everything. It is creative. It is creativeness. There is nothing beyond it. There is nothing greater, because it has everything else in it. Everything else exists in the consciousness of God. That is the pearl of great price. Consciousness of God is my consciousness. Can it be otherwise? For God is infinite in nature. Therefore, there cannot be two consciousnesses. One only. His. Being omnipotent, all power. Being omniscient, all knowledge, all wisdom. Being omnipresent, present everywhere. Nowhere where he is not. Being infinite in nature includes these omnipresent, omnipotent assumptions. I am that. That is the power of great prayer. It is entered the sanctuary of the sanctuary.